Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs, because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today we open our ears and our hearts.
This is the soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive, let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time, your story's in the sound tonight. I care about the human being. I care about the human being.
Quoting the 2012 movie, Blue is not so pink. How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
This is the quote of the day. Don't let anything discourage you. Even a kick in the ass pushes you forward.
That is a good one. I like it.
I like it well.
Before we dive into your story, we'd love to hear a bit about you first. Who are you and what's your role at the university?
I am a third year languages student. So basically my role here is, you know, do French, Spanish, German, bit of Italian there. I've always been really interested in languages ever since I was a kid. In grade 8 especially, I found a love for German. And, you know, living in a small village, pretty much, I didn't have the opportunity to do that. But my French teacher, he had studied a bit and he had a lot of resources for me to be able to sort of kind of get a little bit of a head start on that German journey. So now that I'm here at Laurier, I'm really thankful that I'm able to partake in that and be able to study all these different languages.
Perfect. So why don't you let our listeners know who is this voice?
Oh, my name's Sola.
Well, Sola, welcome to the soundtrack of your life. We always begin each episode with a question. A question left by our previous guest, and they had no idea it would be you answering it. So, Baron, also known as John Brooker, left this question for you. When you look at yourself in the mirror, do you think that you know who is staring back?
I would say it's varies day by day, but you know,
I follow you.
At this moment in time, I'm able to see a lot of, you know, myself now, what I've grown into over the years, but also a lot of, you know, like members of my family. I see my nono, I see my dad, I see my nona, like I see all these people staring back at me. So that's what I'm doing.
And for people like me who has lack knowledge in Italian, nonno and nonna are
grandfather and grandmother.
Well, great, great. So I was not that.
Roots and origins.
Okay, why don't we start asking you, let us know a little bit about your family roots, and the place where you grow.
So my father, he's from Italy. He was born in San Miniato. And so that's in like the Tuscany region. And then my mother, she was born here in Canada, but her family comes from like England, Wales, you know, United Kingdom.
Have you ever lived those places by any chance?
When I was in my infancy, 1 and 2 years old, I spent some time in Italy, and that's actually where my first memories are from. But other than that, I've, you know, spent my whole life in Canada, and then I've visited Italy since then.
In which part of Canada did you grow up?
I was born in Sarnia, but I grew up in a little town called Creemore. So that's near Collingwood. It's known for its beer. Yep, so. And then I moved to Stratford a couple years ago.
Hey, so many places. Now, the word home carries different meanings for everyone. What does home mean to you? Is it a place? Is it a feeling or people in it?
I would say it's, for me, it's definitely people. Since I've moved around so much, you know, Sarnia, Creemore, Stratford, and now I've been staying at my aunt's in Waterloo. So it's more so, you know, good people, people you feel safe around.
I agree. Now, close your eyes for a moment, if I may ask him, what's a sensory detail, a smell, a sound, a texture that instantly brings your hometown to life? Describe it for us, please. Thank you.
I think for me, it would be the softness of a cat's fur. Because when I was growing up in Creemore, my friend and I, like every night, we would just walk around looking for, you know, cats. We would go on a little cat hunt, as we called it. Yeah, you know, just explore the town that way.
Pet lover.
Yeah, big pet lover.
Welcome to the team. Welcome to the team. Well, because you mentioned that you have a from your father's side, you have an Italian and background. Let's talk a little bit about food. Food has this incredible way of connecting us to home or to family. Is there a particular flavor or dish that means far more than you than just a meal? And what memories live inside that taste?
I would say when I went to Italy last year, I met my father's new wife for the first time and her family, and they were so kind to me, like letting me into their home and cooking for me all the time. It was crazy. And my stepmother, she made me this fantastic like fish meal. Like we went to the grocery store, we got pranzini, which is European sea bass, and she just cooked me the whole thing, rosemary, you know. It was fantastic. I was just eating it with my hands. It was like that good.
Made that moment even.
Yeah, it made it very special too, because at that point, I've kind of lived my life as a bit of a vegetarian, in the sense that I've just never really liked meat or fish or anything. But this was, you know, opening me up to a whole new world of flavor. And
but you were also open to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. And sometimes it didn't happen at our childhood, right?
Yeah.
Childhood and Ali connections.
But let's go back a little bit to your childhood. What's one memory, no matter how simple, that you treasure? And why does it stay with you?
I would say, when I was about 11 years old, my mom took me out of school early for my birthday and was like, we're just going for a drive. Okay, we're going for a drive. And then we show up at this big weird building, and I see in the window like two little kittens. And I was like, we're gonna get to look at some kittens. She takes me into the building, which is the Humane Society there. And I was like, oh yay, I get to spend some time with some cats. And she's like, actually, no, we get to take one home, which is like, why wouldn't I assume that? But yeah, we picked out the cutest little kitten, and you know, he was a very important part of my life up until, unfortunately, passed away a couple years ago. But yeah, that is a very...
For how long he stayed, or they...
We had him for 8 years, but he had a bit of a heart problem, so yeah, but it was very special 8 years.
Now that you mentioned that part, think of a moment when you had to make a tough choice, big or small. What principle guided that decision, and who in your life modeled that for you?
Mm-hmm. I think just staying on that note about my cat, the hardest thing I had to do was when he was going through congestive heart failure, just, you know, kind of out of nowhere. We didn't see any signs for it, and we had to take him to an emergency vet. It was in that moment that I had to be like, okay, are we going to do this crazy expensive surgery for him that might not even work? Or are we gonna, you know, let him go? And it was kind of difficult because on one hand, you want to keep this special, you know, creature in your life. But also, if you did choose to keep him around, would that just be like hurting him more, like prolonging the pain? So my mom kind of just sat me down and was like, you have to think about him. So she kind of modeled this sort of like, let's choose something that's kinder for him, you know?
Yeah. When I had to make the decision with my pet, and I only realized when I met the veterinarian that my pet was suffering because I didn't see any sign of pain.
The signs are very difficult to see sometimes.
Yeah. And that's when that decision makes, it comes tougher. Let's keep in your childhood. Was there a friend who left a mark on that chapter of your life? Like, what stands out when you think about them?
Yeah, I've got this, my friend who I've known her since, you know, we were like toddlers, daycare.
The same one for the cat hunt?
Yes, actually, yeah. And, you know, we've known each other for like over 18 years at this point. And, she practically lived with me when I still lived back there. And, you know, she's kind of just sort of like a grounding point, I guess. Like, if I'm ever feeling like I have no one on my side, and think, okay, I know I have her on my side. And then kind of go from there, like, who else do I have? And also just all our memories together are very, you know.
Well, that's a relief.
Pretty much a sister.
Yeah. At that time, I remember that I didn't have to ring a bell or knock the door to enter in my friends, or yeah, just like another house that magically I had.
Yes.
So what about a phrase, a saying, or a piece of window from your family that pops into your head at an unexpected moment? Where is it and when does it show up, this type of phrase?
At my house, we have like a little piece of paper on the fridge that's sort of like an affirmation, where it sort of says, in this house we are not sick, we are always happy, you know, stuff like that.
No, like a motto.
Every time someone would complain about something or not be feeling great, my grandmother always says, look at the fridge. So whenever I'm feeling, you know, not great,
yeah,
okay, look at the fridge. Let's collect ourselves, you know.
I'm always amazed how elder people learn to speak a little bit, but gives you a lot of directions and ideas.
Passions and personal energy.
And suddenly you move to this fast-paced environment at university, because life at university moves very fast. But when the weight of deadlines and responsibilities gets heavy, what's your reset button? What helps you recharge?
for me, it's sitting down with a good craft. I do a lot of embroidery, so I find when I work with my hands, it kind of calms my brain down a bit because, yeah, with like deadlines and everything, I find my mind's always racing, so it's good to channel that energy elsewhere.
I'm the type of person who picks the name, but not to do some craft, which would be very, very helpful. Now flip it up. What's something you do not to escape stress, but because you genuinely love it? What activity makes hours feel like minutes?
I love watching a good movie, you know.
Which one is the most recent one you watched?
The most recent one I've watched, I think it was...
That you like, of course.
Yeah, I recently watched a movie called Lurker, bit of a psychological thriller. I got to go see that at the Princess Cinemas with my friend and...
You like it?
Yeah, now I've been showing it to everyone. Everyone's probably sick talking about it.
Which is really good, means it's really good. Now, this balance between joy and nostalgia in life. Could you share a small thing, a simple pleasure, that never fails to bring a smile to your face?
This is a bit morbid, but in the summertime, you know, since I was a kid, I always loved the sound of cicadas. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten good at finding dead ones. And I just get a great joy from taking the wings off of them and just taking them home with me. I've got like a huge collection. It's a bit, yeah, morbid, but...
No, it's what it is, right? And let's go to the other side. We carry, all of us carry fears, right? Bigger or smaller, doesn't matter. And only if you are comfortable sharing. What's something that you are afraid of and how have you learned to live alongside it?
I've always kind of had a fear about being misunderstood, I guess. Like saying something and it being interpreted in such a wild way that it's nobody knows me. I've tried to kind of combat this by just saying what I want to say, what I mean to say, without, you know, mincing words.
Yep. Doesn't mean you don't have filter, but you...
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll just be more honest than maybe I was in my youth.
Well, I think it's the best way to handle this situation.
The University Experience.
Now, you are in your third year, right? In this university experience where Laurier brings together people from all over the world. Tell us about one conversation or maybe a moment or one perspective from someone different from you that genuinely surprised you or challenged what you thought you knew.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I met this girl not too long ago who, she's also Italian, and we were kind of just discussing, you know, our families, where our families are from, and it kind of made me realize, like, oh, I don't know too much about, you know, my father's parents. Like, I know a bit about them, but it was kind of that sort of conversation that makes you think, okay, I need to learn more about my family roots. And because my dad, he's always been a very non-talkative guy. So yeah, it just made me delve deeper into that.
And suddenly you were sitting in front of a fish covered with rosemary.
Yep.
Good decision. Now, has sharing your culture or identity with others here at Laurier taught you anything new about yourself?
Yeah, I would say I've had to do a lot of projects that are kind of more on the cultural side, like talking about family and things like that. And yeah, it just helps me to learn more about my history because, you know, my dad lives in Italy, so I haven't been with him for a long time in my life. And so I know a lot about my mom's side, and they're always going on and on about this. But it's like, you know, gotta learn, where else do I come from?
And when you talk about that, you like leave the room so proud of being also Italian?
Yeah.
Great, great. Now, university has a way of holding up a mirror. Has there been something you've discovered or realized about yourself here that you didn't see before? Maybe something that surprised you?
I guess just I'm stronger than I think. You know, I've always had this kind of problem with myself where, you know, insecurities, low self-esteem. But I found coming here, like, I was a bit worried about my level of skill in a lot of the languages that I'm studying. But, you know, I kind of realized, hey, I'm in the same program as everyone else. I'm taking the same classes. You know, I'm doing it. I have the ability to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But probably the best place to have this type of problems is a safe place like this, right? Surrounded for so many people.
The song of your life.
Well, we have arrived at the heart of our conversation. You have chosen a song that captures where you are right now. Before you tell us what is it, can you share what this song means to you? What moment or feeling or idea does it hold?
Well, the song that I've chosen is one that it conjures a lot of very lush images of nature, lots of references to, you know, the natural world and sort of the mysticality of it in a way. So I find, you know, I'm coming up to this point in my life where, you know, as a kid, you love the outdoors. But now I'm really becoming aware of it. Yeah, like I'm learning the plant niches, I'm learning their uses. I've been getting into making teas. So now I'm like really trying to use what's in the world. And yeah.
Well, let me tell you something important. This song that you have chosen, which might have been your personal treasure until now, is about to belong to more than just you. From this moment on, it will have an audience. People listening will celebrate this chapter of your life alongside you. It becomes part of your story, shared with all of us. Sola, what's that song?
The song is Fleur de Lune by Françoise Hardy. It's a French song, you know. She's singing about herself, but, you know, making all these references to the natural world. And yeah, I had to do actually... I chose it for a project in one of my classes last year, and I was able to really analyze the lyrics. I feel like it's something I kind of identify with in a way.
It's that moment where you say, holy shoot, this person seems to know me better than me. Okay, now, let me connect this song with this question. If your life were a movie and this song played during a pivotal scene, what will be happening on the screen in that part of the movie? What chapter are you living right now with this song?
Well, I think that would, I guess, in a way, be a montage of me just, you know, going out and living in the natural world, you know, just embracing it all the seasons, all the plants, the animals, the insects, you know.
Yeah. I love that part in life when you're a child, you take it for granted, and when you grow up, they're like, I reaffirm.
Well, and especially in this day and age, is I think we have to have like a deeper respect for it.
Yeah, you're right.
A look to the future.
Well, we are almost done, but let's look a little bit about the future. If you could plant one idea or value in this community that will outlive your time here, what will it be? What change do you want to inspire?
I would like to just, you know, re-emphasize the importance of kindness, being respectful to one another. Just because there's a lot going on in the world right now that is dividing people. I think you got to put some of that aside and just see each other as fellow humans.
And one more in a more personal level. When someone who knew you here thinks of you years from now, what feeling do you hope comes to their minds? Not that you did, but how you made them feel.
I would like them to think, man, that girl was crazy. She made me laugh.
Well, that's very touchy, honestly, that's very touchy.
The chain question and the gift.
Sola, it's been an honor getting to know one of the songs from your life soundtrack. So to close the circle and connect your story with the next week's guest, what question would like you to ask them to discover the sense of who they are?
What is something you wish your younger self could know about your current self now?
So don't miss the next episode and we will realize what's the answer. Okay. Sola, thank you very much for coming.
You.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success. And also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, the best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
I hear you loud. I hear you. Turn it up, let the moment ignite. This is your sound, your life tonight.
Every step, every turn,
every fire, every burn.
I'm here for the high.